Hello, and welcome to Raising Successful Teens Global Summit. I am your host, Andrea Zacharias, and I am so excited you have tuned in to our expert series today. Today, our expert is Dr. Denny Coates. As CEO of Performance Support System, Inc., Dr. Coates has created award-winning brain-based programs and resources for parents, leaders, and teams for over 25 years. Dr. Denny's parenting focus is to give science-based knowledge to adults so they can help young people wire their prefrontal cortex for executive critical thinking skills in order to avoid the pitfalls of growing up and achieve optimum intellectual capacity for adult life. I am so excited for this conversation with Dr. Denny Coates. Dr. Denny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's a real pleasure, Andrea.
I'm so excited because I know this information that you're going to share is something that parents ask for. They want to understand the teenage brain. And so I'm so excited that you're able to provide that information, which is really critical so we can understand what it is that we need to do to help our teenagers become successful adults.
Yeah. Well, this business about the teen brain is kind of new. The research for it. Dr. Jay Geed and his team at the National Institute of Mental Health did research on teen brains. Mm-hmm. And they found out that the adolescent brain is still developing. Mm-hmm. It was a new discovery. Mm-hmm. Because everyone, all the neuroscientists before that, just kind of assumed that, well, there's been brain development since birth. Mm-hmm. It ends around 9-10 years old. Mm-hmm. And after that, they're sort of building mm-hmm. on this brain where the foundation's already been set. But this challenged that, this changed that. This was new information. And I think the people who found out about it recognized immediately that it was important to the understanding of who teens are. Mm. Because what's really going on is around puberty, the prefrontal cortex, we'll call it the PFC, that's what everybody calls it, experiences this what they call a second wave of development. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, little kids have a PFC. Uh-huh. You know, they're curious, and they're asking questions, and they want to know why and everything. Mm-hmm. But in human beings, we have this second wave of foundation building in the PFC. Mm-hmm. And it starts with what they call blossoming, mm-hmm. which means that all the brain cells in the PFC sprout what they call dendrites, which are connective tissue. Every brain cell sprouts about 1,000 to 10,000 of these connections. Mm-hmm. And so it's like everything is connected up. Mm-hmm. This would sound like an advantage, but it's not. It's actually a disadvantage because the wiring is there, but for what? Mm-hmm. And so the job of a teenager, even whether they know it or not, is to start reinforcing those connections mm-hmm. with mental skills, like executive function skills and critical thinking skills. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, then those connections will survive. Mm-hmm. So what you see initially around the age of 11 and 12, when puberty arrives and this second blossoming is going on, that makes it pretty hard to use the PFC. Mm. It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's like pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, you know. Mm-hmm. They say, you should exercise this logic more. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not there. But you know what's interesting is the same thing happened when they were little kids. Uh-huh. They had to learn to walk, for example.
Right.
But they had no walking circuits. Uh-huh. How do you do that?
Yeah.
Well, you try and try and try and try and try until some of the circuits form, because that's how circuits form in the brain. You use certain brain cells over and over, and they connect. Mm-hmm. And then the myelination, which is the insulation, forms, and that mm-hmm. makes it permanent. So. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, little kids are just super motivated to walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to encourage them, man. They, right. You know, and then talking, you know, that's another power skill that they don't have.
Right.
And more complex. And so the way you learn to talk is to talk.
Right.
So that's pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps because you don't have any talking circuits yet. But the more you do it, the more the circuits form. And so it's a tough time, I think, in middle school.
Yeah.
Where the kids have reached puberty. And they got all this blossoming going on. And it's tough. Tough to do the things that the PFC does.
Right.
Like be reasonable.
Right.
Like evaluate things and figure out what's going on and solve problems and make decisions and use good judgment and self-regulate. A lot of important stuff. It's actually the stuff that makes the difference between, say, a mature, effective adult and a kid or a human being and, and another animal. It's really important.
I mean, this is just fascinating. Just so fascinating, all of this. And I'm just so curious, how did you get started to focus on the adolescent brain?
You know, that's a good, there's a story.
Okay.
It goes back in the 70s and 80s. I was in the Army. I was a West Point graduate. I was an officer, and the last half of my career, I spent training leaders. I had done leadership myself, and I'd studied leadership. And so the Army needed programs to train them to do. So that's what I did. I created, helped create these programs and make them better leaders. So I figured I had wrapped my brain around this pretty well. And I knew that a lot of it was communication skills. And I, you know, as I looked around me, very few of my contemporaries were very good at it. So when I retired in 1987, I started my company called Performance Support Systems. And the idea was to teach adults these communication skills. So I've been doing it ever since, and I'm still doing it, actually. One of the things that dawned on me around, I'd say 2010, was all my work had to do with adults who needed better skills, better ways of listening, better ways of negotiating and solving problems, and resolving conflict, et cetera, et cetera. And I began to think, well, why don't they do this well now? I mean, why is there so much remediation? And the answer was, well, they didn't learn it when they were young. So I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could do more work with young people to help them? And so I began to create programs to help them with actually a couple of things. One is communication skills, and the other is what is related to character development or personal strength. And so that's really been my creative work. Well, when you get to about 2010, then you're starting to see all these books about the teen brain. Now, when I started my company in 1987, I knew this is about learning. And so I want to teach these communication skills. And so what's a skill? How are you going to teach it if you don't know what a skill is? So I realized a skill really is something that originates in your brain, because that's where your speech comes from the brain. What you do comes from the brain. What your values are in your brain. It's all there. So I wanted to know what a skill was, and I didn't. And I didn't know how it happened in the brain. So I began to study the brain, and I've been studying it ever since. It's just been one of those things that's been a part of my work, my business, and it's why in the early 2000s, I became fascinated with teenagers and their brain. Because there was a lot of information coming out. I read all of it. It would be, I just realized how important it was, this business of the prefrontal cortex and what the prefrontal cortex actually does and how important that is. The fact that there in this, they have this opportunity to develop that. Mm-hmm. So, well, the initial books about the teen brain, and you know, if a parent who's listening in hasn't read any of those books, maybe they should. Actually, the free ebook that's offered today would be a good place to start.
Okay.
Because the impact of that early work was that people began to be more empathetic about the teenager. Here they are using poor judgment. Here they are rebelling and pushing for independence and trying things that maybe they shouldn't be trying. And mood swings and stuff. Hey, what's going on? And a lot of parents just got impatient and aggravated and they would react emotionally. Mm-hmm. Well, when that happens, they're not using good communication skills. Mm-hmm. Making things worse. So when they realize that, well, there's something going on up here that makes it hard for them to be reasonable, hard to use good judgment, it's a part of growing up. Mm-hmm. So parents learn, and educators and psychologists learned, well, we need to take that into account because that's part of the issue of what it means to be a teenager. Well, what I discovered by reading all the books and doing a lot of thinking about it, there's way more to it than that. Mm-hmm. That the empathy is great, but there's an opportunity here for them to do something with that developing PFC. Unfortunately, one of the byproducts of the early work was, well, it's kind of a phase being a teenager, this business of the brain. Eventually they'll mature, grow up, and they won't have these issues anymore.
Right.
That's not true. It's not. And that's a good deal of my work is to explain why.
Right. Wow.
You're going to ask me why.
Yes, I am going to ask you why.
Well, the reason it doesn't necessarily follow that it's a phase is because the PFC, it's time to wire it. Mm. It's time to wire the PFC for the mental skills that the PFC can handle. And we're talking about relating things. Say, well, you know, this concept is like this concept, or this event is like this principle, or this object is like this object. And it's a way of understanding things. And so that's what the PFC does. It does this relating. And one of the ways of relating is cause and effect. If I do this, this is likely to happen. That's a connection.
Yeah.
You relate that. Mm-hmm. That's important learning.
Yeah.
And we can learn that from our adult teachers, or we can learn that through experience. Mm-hmm. But it's really important. It's one of the ways that we become smart. And so I sometimes call the PFC the smart part of the brain. Hmm. Self-regulation requires an awful lot of this connecting the dots about what's happening. And problem solving, decision making, evaluating, making judgments, it just goes planning, organizing, managing. It's all in the PFC. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very important part of the brain, and it's interconnected with every other part of the brain. Mm-hmm. And both ways, sending signals out and receiving signals in so they can make sense of it all and then make a choice. So we want maximum wiring of the PFCs to be smarter and smarter as you go through adolescence, so that when you leave home, you've got a lot of really good programs in your brain that help you think. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a very important part of the circuit building going to tell you about. It's just amazingly important. When the more a person does an action, the quicker the brain wires itself for that. You can call that a habit, you can call that a skill, mm-hmm. or a behavior pattern, or whatever, a routine. Call it what you like, but it's basically wiring neurons for an action so that we don't have to force it through the eye of the needle every single time. We don't have to figure it out every single, it becomes a habit. We just do it. Mm-hmm. If you've ever played golf or tennis or any sport, you know that there's a lot of skill building involved, and it's very awkward. You're not going to do very well until those skills become habits. Mm-hmm. So you can do them without thinking. Mm-hmm. And the same with mental skills. Same with the skills in the PFC. So they've got work to do. Now, the brain does two things to make those circuits really efficient. One is that it insulates them with a substance called myelin. And when that happens, the speed of the electrochemical transmissions really, it's like 100 times faster. It becomes real easy after a while. The second thing that it does is that if there are any unused connections from that blossoming, it dissolves on the way. Mm. Call that pruning. Mm-hmm. Now, think about this. If a teenager is using all kinds of mental skills, then less pruning will happen.
Okay.
And more of a foundation will be wired in the PFC. On the other hand, if you have a teenager who's all caught up in teen culture and stuff, mm-hmm. and having a giggly time out of it, you know, and just blowing off courses and just showing up for fun and stuff, mm-hmm. that's cool. Fun's good. Relationships, friends, all good, you know. Mm-hmm. However, if they're not doing lots of thinking and wiring those skills, the pruning's going to happen anyway. There's no way to stop it. Mm-hmm. It's just what it does. Mm-hmm. So imagine a teenager who goes through adolescence and doesn't really apply herself or himself in this area, and they end up 21, 22 years old with all that pruning done. So they have less of a foundation mm-hmm. of these thinking skills. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what they've got to work with as adults. Mm-hmm. Got this really robust, extensive PFC wired, or maybe it's minimal. Mm-hmm. So it's not a phase. Mm-hmm. And so now, once you understand this, there's a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
We, as a child, he or she needs to get to work using these skills, mental skills, because it's time. And there's an open window of sensitivity for this learning, and it closes mm-hmm. once the pruning is done.
Right.
And that's like late in adolescence. And it varies from child to child. It might be 20, might be 23, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, does this also vary gender as well?
No, it doesn't. Now, there are gender differences in the brain, but essentially the female prefrontal cortex is identical to a male okay. prefrontal cortex, okay. and the opportunity and the urgency is the same.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious, Dr. Denny, what would you say are those thinking skills now that parents need to work on with their teenager? And then I have a follow-up. How do we balance all of this, you know? Yeah.
Well, prior to this knowledge, which I'm trying to enrich with my work, no parent, no counselor, no teacher, no psychologist anywhere had any idea that this was going on. We're talking about the 20th century. So how did kids get smart mm-hmm. without knowing that this was going on? Mm-hmm. That there was an opportunity here mm-hmm. that you could be self-aware about and do something about. The answer is luck. Mm. You were lucky. You were lucky because you got fascinated with math. Mm-hmm. Or your daddy was a lawyer and you were interested in law. And so you ask all kind of questions and he explained it and you read and, you know, whatever. You had a mentor, you had a teacher who just insisted that you think about this stuff. Mm-hmm. You can teach history and make an A and pass the state certification exam just by knowing the date of certain battles in the Civil War.
Right. Or what.
But did you know why that battle was lost? Did you really figure that out? Did your teacher help you? So you got lucky. You were in a history class where the teacher challenged you to ask you those questions. Do you know why Sherman went through Atlanta like that? You know what he was really trying to do? No. Well, before next class, I want you to find out and tell me. So they challenged the kids. That's lucky, man.
Yeah.
And so I was lucky.
Yeah.
Really lucky, because for some reason that for a very long time, I had no idea why I wanted to make A's. But I was obsessed with it. And so trying to make A's was a big deal. I was, wanted to be the smart kid. And so in doing that, I ended up taking my courses seriously. And so I did a lot of preparation and thinking about what I was learning. Mm-hmm. Very lucky. I have 7 brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And they're not like me at all. Mm-hmm. It didn't work out for them. Mm-hmm. 2 of my brothers and sisters did go to college. 2 of my brothers, younger brothers, didn't even graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. And one of them, who did graduate, became a criminal. Mm-hmm. And he's not alive anymore. Mm-hmm. So it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, with this family, and we all grew up together. We all had the same parents. So we same experiences, more or less. But we each had it developed differently, because some of us had more good fortune than the others in the process of growing up. That's really what happened in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. But now the message is, parents, here's something you can do. Mm-hmm. And I focus on 4 things. The first thing is to try to get your kid to think. You ask questions all the time. Instead of giving the answers, instead of saying, well, this is this and that is that and that's the way it is, or here's the answer, or let me do this for you. That doesn't help at all. Or a kid comes home bawling, or a kid comes home frustrated, or a kid makes a C instead of an A and is confused and discouraged. Instead of giving advice, you say, well, why do you think your teacher gave you a C? So you ask these questions to get them to think. Or why did this happen? Why did she say that, do you think? I don't know. Well, take a guess. And so you push them to think. And you can do this about everything. If if they're struggling with something, you say, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to deal with this? I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, give it some thought. Well, I could do this. So I would say, good. That is possible. How do you think that will work out? Mm-hmm. So you get them to think and evaluate all of those things that the PSC does. And you encourage them to do that thinking. And a parent can do that. A teacher can do that. And I think teachers should do that. Mm-hmm. Parents can do that too, if they take on that responsibility. So that's thing one. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, let them in on the secret.
Okay.
A parent knows because they've read my ebook.
Yeah.
And they've listened to our conversation. Uh-huh. Wow, is this really happening? Wow. Yes, it is. And so read the ebook. It's a superb set of notes about what I've just been talking about. And it'll reinforce your understanding of the adolescent brain. Mm-hmm. But now you know. Mm-hmm. Kid doesn't know.
Right.
That's unacceptable, because guess what? Guess who's going to do the work to program that brain? It's not going to be the parent. Right. It's got to be the kid. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem, is the kid was super motivated to get up and walk and paid a lot of dues to learn that skill, and was super motivated to talk because of what you could do through communication. And it was frustrating not to be able to communicate. So the internal motivation to learn these basic skills in childhood was there. but it's not there to wire the PFC.
And why is that?
It's because they don't know what the PFC is.
Mm.
They don't know what critical thinking is. They don't know what executive function is. They don't know how important that is to being an effective. They don't know how that relates to being smart.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what you can do about it. They're completely in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Share the secret.
Yeah.
Get them to read the first couple of chapters in that ebook and have a talk. Because it's a real thing. And I've given this information to teenagers. It's one of the things I love to do. And without a single exception, they love it. They say, wow, man, that's really important stuff. I mean, they really, it's a big deal with them to have that insight.
Yeah, and to understand what's going on with them.
Yes,
yeah.
Because after all, adolescents, I mean, they've got a full plate. And it's part of what causes that time to be so stressful for them is they've got to learn life skills. They've got to master their academics, try to get into college or whatever. They want to have friends and be the kind of person who can make friends. And and now it's important to develop your mind, not just with facts, not just a lot of stuff about all of the planes in World War II,
right?
To be able to name the names and all of that, and the speeds and the altitudes that they fly. And those are all facts. It's right. Good. It's good. You know, I think it's cool that kids study dinosaurs. You know, I mean, that's good. But mental skills, using that information, not just having it, but using it, being rational and solving problems and so forth, all we've talked about the PFC. So that's another thing that can happen, but it doesn't necessarily happen. It's not a phase. It's an opportunity. So if the kid does the work and the parents encourage the work and it works out, they will end up wiring a whole lot of that PFC. So that's thing two, is share the secret. There's a third thing, which is protect the PFC.
Okay.
Alcohol and drugs disrupt the formation of circuits in the PFC. Let's just say it in a sentence.
Okay? Yeah.
It's the same thing as a mother in pregnancy. Doctors saying, don't smoke. No alcohol, no wine, no alcohol, no drugs. No illegal, because you don't know what'll happen, and if it does, it'll be tragic. Could be awful, so don't do it. And now we've got a teenager who's involved in brain development too, and the same thing could happen without, the mother. And so just thinking it's partying is fun, partying's cool, everybody's doing it. I want to find out what, this over-the-counter medication tastes like and what it feels like to drink it. Oh, man. So if they get into that, you don't know when and you don't know exactly how, what part of the PFC is going to be affected by it, but that's dangerous.
Yeah. So, I just want to say something. It's been my experience that it just seems that a lot of teenagers are really experimenting a lot, especially with alcohol, drugs as well. And a lot of parents kind of feel like, okay, if it's in my home, at least I'm watching and it's okay. But it's so important for them to understand it's not just that.
Yes.
It's not just that. It's beyond them. And of course, you don't want them to drive drunk or, under the influence. But it's just something that for them to understand the influence that it has on the brain.
Yes, that's the thing that they're not thinking about.
And parents or teenagers, both are not thinking about that.
Exactly.
We've
got to make them smarter about this.
Yeah, and I feel like this is something that, just needs to be really pushed beyond, obviously, the driving under the influence, but just understanding out what it does to the brain. And if you wouldn't mind just kind of expanding a little bit more of what exactly it is doing to the brain.
Well, what we're talking about are substances entering the brain that shouldn't be there. And so if the brain is trying to connect the neurons one to the other and so forth and to reinforce those neurons into circuits, that will disrupt that. it's just a chemical thing. It's just not supposed to happen. They're not supposed to be there. But so if you introduce that to the brain, then it's going to be way, way harder to wire it. Or maybe you will never be able to, depending on your, how much you use or when you use it. Mm-hmm. So it's just a huge risk. Parents don't know about this. Kids don't know about this. We're still ignorant, mostly. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I've been reading articles and research and so forth, and now all of the scientists are saying this. Mm-hmm. It's a really good thing. They say that kids shouldn't be smoking marijuana because it can affect their brain development. Their brains, mm-hmm. teen brains, are still in development, so they're starting to connect the dots, and it's a lovely thing. But that's, I'll say one other thing in passing before I go on to thing four. Mm-hmm. In our culture now, in the 21st century, is there is a new technology that's unbelievably powerful and pervasive and coming at you. Mm-hmm. Smartphones. Mm-hmm. With a smartphone, you have access to the entire world of things. And a lot of those things are not good for you. I'll just say pornography, for example. Mm-hmm. Cyberbullying, for example. Sexting, for example. And just simply wasting time hoping that somebody will make a comment mm-hmm. on your Instagram photo or whatever. Kids spending hours, dozens of hours a week. You say, well, the poor kids, now they're under a lot of time stress because mm-hmm. they've done all this mm-hmm. social networking. But video games, mm-hmm. you can now play on phones. Of course, we have these controllers, these video game controllers, and it turns out that video games can be very addictive.
Yeah.
And the reason is because it fires up the adrenaline and the cortisol in the brain. And if you resolve an issue in a part of the game, then there's a reward feeling in your brain mm-hmm. called dopamine. Mm-hmm. You think, wow, now what? Mm-hmm. More of that. So we go back to level 2, level 3, level 4, level 41, you know? Mm-hmm. And the worst games that to make kids addictive are shooter games.
Okay.
Call them first-person shooter games. But some games could be addictive, but actually are beneficial, such as strategy games. Mm. So I can't give you a lecture mm-hmm. on the difference. All the different genres of games. I'll just say this. We're talking upward of 1,000 games available to a teenager. And it's a $70 billion industry.
Wow. It's not going away.
No. You know what's happening? They're innovating mm-hmm. to make them even more addictive.
Yeah. Because
if they're addictive, that's a good thing for the developer.
Exactly.
They don't really understand, and if they did, I don't know if they'd care, that it's not good for mm-hmm. the teenager, because the cortisol doesn't dissipate mm-hmm. and if a kid only plays 30 minutes a day, he's okay. You know, you can play a first person shooter game for 30 minutes and put it away and you're okay, because mm-hmm. that's kind of like going hunting back in ancient history, you mm-hmm. know, that was exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, bam, bum, 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 you know, we killed the deer with the spear. That only takes about half an hour.
Yeah.
Of, you know, that kind of stress. And you get the dopamine from that too. But in a video game, you could play all night long.
Yeah.
And so your cortisol continues to run through your brain for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. And that presence of that chemical is too much. And it will disrupt brain development also. And scientists are beginning to appreciate this more and more. So these are the two things that are kind of huge mm-hmm. for parents to be careful about. And if you want to be careful about video games, man, you've got some learning to do. You better get on Google mm-hmm. and Google strategy games, Google shooter games. I mean, find out what they are. Call of Duty. You see ads for that all the time. Got a new version of Call of Duty. It's 10 times better than the old version.
Right.
You know, that's one of the most addictive first-person shooter games there is.
Yeah.
I've seen kids. I know kids who are addicted today to these shooter games.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you noticed in your does it transform to another addiction? Has there been any studies that shown any of that has shown any of that?
It could be that the tendency to be addicted is genetic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as if the shooter game translates to drugs.
Right.
It's like you have a tendency for both.
Yeah.
So that could happen.
Okay.
But parents need to do their homework.
Yeah.
If you're impressed by what I've just said, that means you've got to do some due diligence before you become a hero at Christmas time with this game console.
Yeah.
Wrapped up, or this smartphone.
Yeah.
What did we do without smartphones? The answer is we did fine.
Yeah.
And a kid doesn't need a smartphone. He needs a flip phone. He needs constant communication with his mother and father. He doesn't need all that access to pornography, etc. Okay.
Yeah.
And social networking.
Right.
Which is a waste of time, in my opinion. I mean, I'm probably sacrilege to say such a thing, but I'll say it. You know, we did fine without social networking, and there's something even better than social networking, and you and I know what it is.
Yep.
FaceTime.
In person.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Nothing better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you build relationships, which you learn those skills and you use them as adults.
Mm-hmm.
Because life's not a video game.
Yeah.
So the fourth thing is there are tons of good games and good courses in school that no matter how it's taught is going to cause a kid to think critically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and activities, extracurricular activities like debate.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the number one extracurricular activity, if you really want the most amazing jolt of PFC development during adolescence, is chess.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So if a kid gets excited about chess, you should get excited about chess. You should learn right along with them and play, you know, like a couple of times a week. I'm telling you, it's just amazing what it will do for the PFC. So there are these games that are board games that really help, and they're all kind of extracurricular activities. And some of the extracurricular activities do nothing to work the PFC.
Mm.
But let me just say, there's not a single course in middle school or high school that has no benefit.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have their own particular benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I took a typing course when I was a senior in high school, had no impact on my PFC development whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But it has practically changed my life. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was the teacher's pet in that class, you know. So every course has its benefit, and every extracurricular activity, or I would say nearly every extracurricular activity has a benefit of some kind. And being a cheerleader, think of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teamwork,
mm-hmm.
striving, the goal setting, the physical fitness aspect, that's mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah. Okay?
Doesn't exercise a PFC at all.
Right.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to do all these, debate, and robotics.
Right.
These, you know, if they show interest in something that I've targeted as a PFC developer, mm-hmm. then the thing that parents should do is show interest.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage and ask questions. And, support. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to go to a tournament, hey, be there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Help encourage them. And so on and so on. You know, it's mm-hmm. just that thing. Those are good activities, so encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
Social networking has no value whatsoever, as far as I know. I shouldn't say that, but that's my opinion. So those are four things
you see,
that parents can do. And once they understand the gravity, they see the opportunity, the urgency. Because adolescence doesn't last forever. It ends in the early 20s. And then the foundation that's been laid down in the circuits and the PFC. That's it. Mm-hmm. Now they can build on that, but I use this architectural metaphor. Are you going to build a palace on a tiny little plot of land?
Right.
No, you need more than that. So when I went to college, I went to West Point, and I was my high school valedictorian. I thought I was smart. I was, you know, but I looked around and I saw my colleagues, my fellow freshmen, way smarter than me.
Wow.
I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. In fact, it confused me. Mm-hmm. So things came easier for them and very difficult for me academically. I ended up okay in graduation, but I really had some catching up to do. And fortunately, the West Point curriculum, almost every course I ever took exercised the PFC. Mm. So that was, you know, I just love, as a graduate, you know, I get down on one knee about that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's, West Point's a mixed bag, you know, there's all this discipline and rules, mm-hmm. and they challenge you so much that it looks like punishment. Mm-hmm. But the benefits are there too. Mm-hmm. And I'm the beneficiary of a lot of mm-hmm. that. I got lucky.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
You know, so, because mm-hmm. nobody told me that it would exercise my PFC. It's just that as a 70-year-old man, now I look back and I get it.
Yeah.
So I tell stories to parents.
Yeah. This has been an absolutely fascinating conversation, I feel like this was an intro 101 to the adolescent brain and what we have
right.
to do.
Right.
Before we finish up, I want you to talk a little bit about the ebook that you mm-hmm. mentioned earlier. And if you can just tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. I wrote the ebook as a preliminary exercise in writing the book that I've almost finished now. The book that I'm working on now, it's almost done. It's called, I don't know if it'll actually be published under this title, but I call it Adolescent Brain 2.0. Mm-hmm. And so before I began the book, I knew there were certain things that were just super, super important to say. Mm-hmm. So I said them and put them in the ebook. So I explain the brain development piece in the ebook, and I go into the four things that parents can do. I go into them a lot more in the book. So the book is really that I'm writing. But this is sort of a preview of the important things. And I just felt this is so important. We need to get it out now. Mm-hmm. As many people as possible should look at it. It's not long. Mm-hmm. I deliberately kept it tight, short, because that's the way ebooks are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, just get that information out. And mm-hmm. so it's called The Race Against Time. Mm-hmm. And my colleagues have said, why do you call it that? Mm-hmm. It's because the window closes, man.
Yeah.
You only have this time called adolescence. After that, you don't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. So you got to get her done now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. And yeah, you were just telling us what happens, the pruning, all that stuff. Amazing. Fascinating.
Yeah.
This has been a fantastic conversation. I learned so much. I thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom and your years of research. It's just fascinating. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so pleased that you invited me, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, first off, viewers, I hope you were taking notes. If not, make sure that you rewatch this again, because there was just so much information that is really critical that parents and teenagers and teachers and anyone who's in the life of a teenager understand, so that, you know, I'm just thinking about, it's so easy to go in and problem solve for them, right? Because it's just faster. But what happens, the consequences of that is just beyond what people understand. Mm-hmm. Right? All right. So thank you so much. Viewers, stay tuned tomorrow for our next expert. And thank you so much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.